This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
This is Well, Well, Well on Joy.
Indeed, this is Well, Well, Well on Joy 94.9. You're with Carlos, Jack and Tex. And joining us in the studio is our special guest today from Eagle Leather, BJ. Good afternoon, BJ.
Hey, guys. Good to be here.
BJ, I thought we could start with a little bit about yourself. Perhaps a little bit about yourself, including how long you've been with Eagle Leather.
Okay, I started out at a little adult shop. It's called Scorpio, which is down in Mornington. Everyone knows the Mornington Peninsula. And I started working adult shops from the age of 20, and I saw an ad in what was called Brother Sister paper. Does everyone remember that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And I saw an ad for Eagle Leather, and there was a job going, and look, as soon as I saw that ad, I knew what I wanted to do, and I went for it. And I think that Brian, the owner of Eagle Leather at the time, saw the passion that I had and how eager I was to get that job. And yeah, I got the position.
And you haven't looked back?
Haven't looked back, no.
Now look, I'm a bit of a novice in this area, so you have to bear with me, BJ. But out of curiosity and for other listeners, did you have a pre-existing appreciation for leather and fetish prior to working at Eagle Leather? Or did the enjoyment happen to you once you started there?
Look, part of the reason I got the job was also because I had a bit of a background in SM.
Okay.
I would say, though, that from working there as well, like, that passion grew. There's no doubt about it. Like, being around it all the time, you come up with more ideas, you become more creative because there's so much inspiration there.
And you'd be exposed to the community more, obviously,
of course, as well.
So
yeah.
That creates opportunities, I suppose. And
definitely. And I think one of the downfalls of working at Eagle Leather is that I loved the smell of leather and I loved the smell of rubber, and after I've been there now 10 years I can't smell the leather so much anymore. Unfortunately, I've become desensitized, so unless I shove it right in my face, which I do on and off the on a pretty regular basis, I can only smell it then, basically. So that's one of the kind of the downfalls, I guess.
And if leather and kink, if people are into wearing leather, etc., are they necessarily into BDSM?
If they're aroused by wearing leather, then you could say, I guess, they've got a fetish for leather, because there's some sexual arousal like attached to the material. But
and the smell, obviously.
And the smell, of course. Yeah. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're into actual BDSM. BDSM is really something that stands alone, I guess. Not necessarily. Things intertwine quite a bit, but, you know, I would say that's more of a fetish than, yeah.
So it's possible for people to enjoy wearing leather or rubber or any other item that they find as a fetish, but not necessarily acting out into other things.
Correct. They don't have to pick up a whip. They don't have to tie anyone up. They can just enjoy dressing up. And look, it doesn't even have to be completely sexual either. They might enjoy wearing latex or rubber and being encased in something like that. And it might not be completely sexual, but they might get some type of other enjoyment from it. And that's valid, just as much as it is valid for someone to be sexually aroused by it.
Sure, just being out in the scene and being seen on the scene in rubber or latex would be enough for some people.
Oh, I guess so. If there's an exhibitionist side of them, maybe that could be one part of it. But some people play with these roles or games, or they might want to be encased or tied up, and it could be non-sexual because they like the adrenaline aspect of it. There's so many grey areas, if you know what I mean, with a lot of things and people's desires.
When you say encased, that just wearing a lot of latex or something like that.
Yeah, I was kind of more referring, I guess, to being bound in rubber or something like that.
Yeah.
Some people might want to be encased in a leather sleep sack or something like that, or a rubber sleep sack. But some people just like there's some people might want to wear a cat suit with a hood and attached to it, and then they like the whole feeling of like almost a sensory deprivation experience, where almost the latex becomes the second skin, and I guess their flesh becomes like their skin no longer feels so much as their skin. The rubber becomes their skin, and then there's a kind of a head trip attached to that, and an interesting sensory experience that they can a feel for that. And it doesn't always have to be sexual, or it can be sexual, you know. That's
Sounds good.
That feeling that you're talking about for you, mm-hmm. what will be the main difference between rubber and leather? Are they comparable, or?
I guess it depends on what you'd be wearing in those circumstances. Latex in general, I found over the years there was kind of almost, if it's a sexual thing, there has been, I found, a bit of an attachment with some of the older generation who are into latex.
He's looking at me, everybody.
And I know that there was a lot of latex bedding during the years and years and years ago, that when you grew up you'd have latex bedding, so if you wet the bed, you know, that was kind of the sheeting protection, and some people might have also had their first sexual experience or what they associate with that in those types of bedding. So then they have that association, attachment to latex, or the smell of latex as well.
So the seeds could be sown in early childhood or early days.
Exactly, yeah.
Look at Tech's faces, just reminiscence of the past.
Oh, no, I actually was just thinking that when I was young, I used to play cowboys and Indians, and I was always the Indian because the Indian was always tied up. And perhaps that's sharing a bit too much. We have more questions for BJ, and this is such an interesting topic.
Now, BJ, as I said before, I'm a bit of a novice, so I'm all ears to learn more about this world of BDSM. Now, can you tell me, what does it mean? What does it stand for?
Okay, so let's break it down into, first of all, the B.
Yep.
The B stands for bondage, so that's mm-hmm. restraint. Now, that can be physical restraint. Someone might want to be tied up by a rope or something like that.
Or handcuffs.
Or leather, or handcuffs, yep. Or it can be actually psychological restraint as well, like somebody may say, okay, go and sit in the corner and don't move.
So a bit of, I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, so it doesn't always have to be completely physical.
Yeah.
Could also be an imposed chastity as well, like maybe somebody can't touch themselves or something for 2 weeks, and if they do, then they're punished, you know what I mean?
But they do that to themselves, or does somebody else have to take the leading role?
Yeah, okay. They're taking orders, generally.
Okay.
So then the D in BDSM stands for discipline, so that could be physical again, being whipped, being caned, being spanked, so we have that physical form of discipline. Yeah. Or it could be also psychological discipline as well. Like somebody is given a task that they have to do every day. Maybe they're being trained in a certain behaviour by their master.
Like what sort of things would some people want to be trained for or want to participate in?
Oh, it could be just like, okay, when I get home, you have to remove my shoes.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
So there's this certain discipline that they have to adhere to, and maybe protocol involved in that.
Yeah.
The S stands for sadism, which comes from the French writer, erotic writer, Marquis de Sade.
Yes.
I think pretty sure he was around about the 1700s. He wrote a lot of his fiction.
Mm.
And then the M stands for masochism, which comes from Leopold von Sacher-Masoch, who wrote Venus in Furs, which is probably his most biggest publication. He wrote a few other publications as well, but that was the one that really stood out. Now, with Leopold von Sacher-Masoch, he wrote about the consensual act between two people playing these types of roles, these dominant and submissive roles. Whereas Marquis de Sade, he mainly wrote about non-consensual acts. So there's actually a bit of debate that some people say that whether you're a top or a bottom, if you play with these roles, that you're actually a masochist, because he was the one who really kind of put it out there, and of the consensual act that when we play these games. And that's the biggest thing about all these games, that we really have to play with consent.
So you can be any one of those things, or all of those things, or a bit of a variation
of course.
In between.
You can be a variation in between. It's a grey area. Like if by me saying this is this and this is that, I'm pigeonholing, really.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many grey areas, and we really shouldn't be saying you can only be this, or a true. The most common thing I hear is a true master always does this, a true submissive always does this, a true that. Look, when it comes down to it, one of my friends said that the perfect saying was, look, I'm before anything, I'm a hedonist. I'm in the pursuit of pleasure. Like I enjoy what I do, and you know, I don't need to make it so black and white, I guess.
Mm. Yeah. Now, my partner and myself have been a couple of times to your shop, to Eagle Leather. How would you describe of course, my partner and I are gay. But, and talking about pigeonhole here, how would you describe your clientele?
It's predominantly gay male.
Yeah.
Mostly. However, we do have, I guess, we have customers and clients from all genders, all sexualities, and also all levels of experience. So everyone's welcome. Yes, we do have a predominantly gay male clientele, but look, fetish and these desires, they don't know. They don't know gender. They're not directed by, you know, sexualities so much. You know, it doesn't matter as long as you're human and you have these desires, you have them.
Yes, as you said, it's fluid. Sexuality and preferences can be quite fluid and perhaps a grey area.
Mm-hmm.
So if people are curious to find out more about this, I understand you do have some workshops you offer
mm-hmm.
down there. What sort of workshops do you do, and who do you target them towards?
Okay, so probably my most popular class is Impact Play, which is...
That sounds interesting.
That's okay. So that's the use of impact implements, like a flogger, a cane, even your hand for spanking. So what I do is, like, half of that is kind of theory, and then the other half is hands-on experience. So I will actually get a whole classroom to use floggers and spin floggers. It looks like an aerobics class with whips, basically.
With and a bit of a happy ending.
Exactly. Mm. And I also teach a bondage class as well. An intermediate bondage class is what I have done in the past, but I'm working on a beginner's bondage class, which teaches Japanese-influenced bondage, also known as shibari or kenbaku. And which I find a very dynamic form of bondage. So that's for the beginners. I also teach electric sex as well, which is teaching... I know that sounds a bit strange.
Electric sex is something I haven't heard of.
Okay, electric sex is sometimes... is the use of electrical equipment like e-stim devices, which is similar to TENS units.
Well, I think we need to know more about that, but I think we might need to go to...
We do need to hear just a few short messages from our wonderful sponsors. And, of course, our sponsors and our members keep Joy on air. And our membership drive is still alive at this moment. The membership drive finishes on the 30th of June. There are fantastic prizes to become a member of Joy. You can call up, you can join online via joy.org.au, and people all over the world have become members of Joy. There are people from America, the UK, from Europe, from Asia and Africa who are members of Joy, and of course people right here in Australia. Mm. And if you're here in Melbourne, you stand the opportunity to win some of those fantastic prizes.
I am. I'm a member.
You're a member. Carlos is a member. I'm a member. But unfortunately, as presenters on Joy, we're not eligible to win those prizes.
Oh, I didn't know that when I joined.
You didn't know that.
I was looking for that Eagle Leather prize.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.